going in here? Podcast for national, worldwide. Here we go.
I find it, anything you say is very interesting.
Well, thank you.
We go, I don't want a finger paint, bitch.
I'm getting our horses back. Ha! That's the coolest thing you've ever done. I just
ride down.
The woman that I think about when I'm having sex with my wife.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm a little creeped out.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that. Yeah, I'm sure you're a very loving, tender, romantic, thoughtful, meaningful sex with your wife. Can that
I do.
Be a drop?
It makes me so happy every time I heard it.
Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast, episode number 302. My name is Justin Worsham. I am your host. And with me, as always, is the one, the only, the very noisy, the early adopter. The ruiner of your speakers and your ear drum holes, the Kevin Miller.
Yeah! Woo!
Now we told...
I have sex with my wife and think about her.
Yeah. Who's the her?
My wife.
Okay. Now we get the joke.
You get it?
So I want to give a quick heads up in that after we finished last week's episode, I went to promote it. And then we saw on our Facebook page that we had a bunch of people who had found the Facebook page and were trying to get information because they knew that Sly Cooper 4 was coming out.
Oh, they think it's coming out.
Or they think it's coming out. I'm sorry. Well, I think it's known. It's got to be public.
We'll have to talk about that.
Oh, boy.
We should talk about that
so
on
so much.
Some episode.
I feel like an insider. Not a top. I don't know why I talk like that.
I don't know why. I don't want to hear about you being an insider or a top.
So anyway, what was the...
We were also just about to start this episode. We should put it, include it as a bonus scene.
Yeah. That's right. I think I still
original,
have the audio.
And we started and then 2 minutes in, maybe five ten. Minutes in, 10 minutes in,
yeah.
Jacob arrived and that just shut everything down.
Shut everything down. He had been gone for 9 days and... I think that it was fair that you would have much rather hung out with him. Too.
Absolutely.
Than,
okay. Well, I think we both were naive before he walked in the door thinking he'll come. We'll say hi. We'll continue on with the show. The moment he was here was like everything stopped. Yeah. He had to check out the apartment. He had to look at his toys.
He had new toys. Thanks to Bill Glass.
We had to talk to him. He had to tell us stories about the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much over.
I realized that one later on that night, I think it was after you had left, or I don't know if you heard my mom say, but I was playing with him over on the handy-manny bench, and she goes, "You missed your son, huh?" And I realized I was staring at him like a 16-year-old would stare at Justin Bieber right now. Like I was just
16-year-old
like...
16-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or checking. Boy, you don't know. What got... Justin Bieber's got to have some gay teenager fans.
Sure, yeah, but why would you compare yourself to them?
Because secretly I'm a closeted homosexual.
Well, there it is. What do you mean secretly?
We're not making that a drop.
Says you.
For a second, I paranoid that we weren't even recording all this. There was a reason why I wanted to talk about all this.
Well,
other
you
stuff
looked on the
to...
page, you saw that there were questions. Sly Cooper.
Yeah, I know that, but there was. I wanted to bring everybody else up to date on it and say, because there was something else that the other fans who listen to the show on a regular basis know about this particular conversation.
You think about it. I'm going to tell this story.
Okay.
My brother is finally home from Korea after a year of being over there and protecting you and me and everybody else in the States. So he was supposed to come back on what was Wednesday to us. It is now Saturday morning. So
thank you for your service.
Exactly. You're welcome. It took him 5 days to get home thanks to several plane changes.
Oh, wow.
He took off from Korea and they had to make an emergency plane landing in Japan because there was something wrong with the plane. And then he sat in the airport for days, literally days, with the rest of his troops, just hanging out, waiting for a plane to be able to take him home. And then he flew into Seattle last night and into.
Because you don't work by the hour. If you're in the army. You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's not like...
Well, and the other thing I need to find out is he gets... I don't think so. I think I know the answer to this. But they say you're released on this day from Korea. We will send you home. You have to report to duty in Fort Sill, Oklahoma by this time. His family lives in Newark, California, which is in the Bay Area. So they say you're responsible for getting yourself and your family from this part of the country to this part of the country in 20 days, they give him. And now with he spent 5 days in Japan, they don't give him additional days. He's still responsible for getting his ass halfway into the America's butthole, as I call Oklahoma.
We might have a lot of listeners there.
Do we? If yeah. you're from Oklahoma and you think, tell me four good things that you like about being there.
I love that that's the way you go. Like, you just go with the assumption that they all agree with you.
I assume. Like, you're there for one of two reasons. One, because you're in the military and that's the only thing going on in town. Or two, you're a Native American and they shoved you there, your ancestors there, about 150 years ago when we tried to whitewash the rest of the nation and get rid of you, your people.
That's an interesting observation that I just had, is that, like, that makes me feel uncomfortable for you to say that about Oklahoma, but I can make every racist comment known to man.
But see, it's unfair. That was the plan. And then they turned it over to statehood. It was supposed to be the Indian reservation. They're like, okay, Native Americans, we know you're here first, but we're going to take, out of respect to you, we're going to pick you up out of your own land and force you into the most desolate part of this entire country in the middle of the thing where there's no water that gets to you, so you can't. And we don't care if you're hunters, if your society's been built on hunting for hundreds of years, you're going to go to the place where you have to farm rocks yeah. in order to survive and make beads.
You could grow rocks in Oklahoma.
It's the only thing to do.
I'm just looking through.
And then they made a musical about turning it into a state. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that what I was in Oklahoma? I don't remember that.
Yeah, don't they make the trek across the states to go and it's going to become a state and it's going to be great?
I don't think so.
I've never seen the show.
Somebody has to. I was in it, but I was too busy being enamored with my now wife while I was doing it.
Is that the one when you asked her?
Okay. You could go ahead. Everything you just said is fine. We have no listeners in Oklahoma.
Man, my brother's
listened
before.
We have one download from North Dakota.
Hey.
And
it's a relative of mine.
And then we have, like, we are unbelievably popular in the state of Texas for some reason.
It's just one.
We have well over 6,000 downloads in Texas and just over 2,000 in California. Well, my favorite though is
so funny, cuz I'm if there's a state in the country I don't like, it's Oklahoma, and the next one would be Texas.
So, oh, I love Texas.
Do That's you really?
Great, oh yeah. We have 1,000 downloads from the unknown U.S. So evidently there are lands still to be figured out.
Area 51.
Come on, what happened to our?
It's actually just Canada.
Manifest destiny.
We did it. We yeah. manifested.
No,
well.
We didn't. Evidently, there are unknown areas of the U.S. is what I'm saying to you.
There's a
maybe
show
we should just start walking out into the ocean from California, and we'll find someplace else like Columbus.
That's what
did
they
it.
Did in China, right? That's how they added that whole China Disneyland and everything. They built land.
Oh, they built land. I thought they just walked out and
you
found
got so
it.
Confused.
I was like, when they were building, like, because at first I was like, oh, that makes sense. In China, like, well, let's just keep walking, and then whenever we run out of stop or run into other people, we'll be like, hey, everything back behind us, that's ours. It's up.
That's what the United States
did. We found
States
it first. No, we didn't.
Did.
We brought syphilis, and we had it fight our wars for us. And
do you know, I got this book on Captain Cook when he discovered Hawaii, and they came in, and one of the biggest concerns that they had was giving venereal diseases to the natives. And he said that this is a huge, huge issue. He couldn't keep his sailors from having sex with the natives. But to make matters worse, is that the native Hawaiians wanted to have sex. They're like, yeah, foreigner from some out distant land.
Well, if you think about it, if you're a tribal nation that yep. lives out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you have
never seen another
exactly.
person that wasn't Hawaiian.
A cracker's pretty hot because yeah. it's exotic to you.
They said it was this whole book that I've been reading is
fascinating. But the other thing, too, though, I don't imagine Hawaiian chicks look like Miss Hawaii 2009.
I don't. Well, and
back
neither do the
then.
Sailors do. They don't look like Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, they come
on. Have jacked up teeth.
Caucasians have been, well, that's different. Everybody had jacked up teeth. I'm just saying,
but their
that
skin would have been oily and dirty from working on a ship. They would have been greasy haired. There would have been nothing to try. They're just their skin
yeah,
would have been leathered.
You
from
take
being
a little
in
dip in a black sand waterfall, and boom, you're locked and loaded from all that issue. I'm just saying that a tribal woman yeah. of Hawaii may look yeah. a little bit more like a Samoan.
But
she did look like Miss Hawaii 2009.
No matter what, though, there's going to be, no matter what era in history you are, no matter what the hygiene level are, there are going to be beautiful women. They're going to be unattractive women. And so I'm pretty sure somewhere on the island of Hawaii or any of the islands, there was a woman or women natives that looked as attractive as
I'm sure. I'm not saying they were dull and void. I'm just saying I bet they were slimmer pickings than what they are now. Although there is the theory, which I first heard it from a radio personality that used to be on the air out here in Los Angeles. He had a syndicated show, so the Texas people listening might have heard him in Dallas. Tom Likas. I think he was also on Seattle and maybe a couple other markets, but now he's completely gone. He had a theory that if you want to find hot chicks, you go close to the water.
Yeah,
if you're the closer you are to the ocean.
Although Texas has got some beautiful.
That's what I was going to say.
And Texas doesn't have you know, it has water, but then it does have the coastal cities down in the south there, like Beaumont.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But I just like because here's the thing: like the South has got a lot, and the Midwest too. I like you go to the Midwest. There are some unbelievably beautiful women that are with some.
I think it's because they eat well.
Dudes,
they eat well there.
Yeah,
the ladies do.
They don't mess around
well, see,
with
the thing about what I was going to say about the Hawaiians is that they would come on the boat. They'd welcome them on, like the dudes and stuff, and they'd just steal stuff right in front of them. They like grab things and run, swim back, and they couldn't catch up with them because they're swimmers and they're surfers, and they'd just whoop, be back. At, and then they'd come back later, and they'd be wearing the thing that they stole. And they couldn't figure it out. And he said, well, to be fair, it's, you know, on the put the shoe on the other side of the foot. Cook noticed that we come in peace, like that we show up and we're like, we're here for peace. But if they don't like us there, we still stay.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the same thing. The book never goes into explain what the cultural significance of was of stealing something that didn't bring it back. I don't know how you justify that. But
I do like the idea of him saying one of his biggest issues was keeping his sailors from sleeping with the Hawaiians.
Because he had done it earlier in another island. I don't remember which one. Might have been Tahiti. But while exploring, he just desecrated an entire village from venereal diseases. They all caught it, and they all died. And so he was trying to stop that from happening again, but there's just no way.
How did that many people catch venereal disease? That's so crazy.
Because
syphilis, unless I'm misunderstanding, or it was an exaggeration from the 80s or whatever when AIDS was happening, but syphilis is deadly. Like turns your brain into Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Oh,
all you need is a penicillin shot in your junk,
which is a little earlier. That by that point, I don't know when penicillin was invented. I should know. That seems like one of those things they make you learn as soon as you walk into high school.
or Trivial Pursuit.
That's also true.
I think that's more of where.
Before we progress, I do have a confession. Okay. I do want to air out some dirty laundry here. I don't hate Texas. I just here's the thing. As a boy who grew up in Northern California, which we are some of the softest, most sensitive people on the planet. You know what I'm talking about.
No,
don't cry. I am turned off by the Texans' pride and arrogance to say that their state is the best state in the universe. And that's the general mantra, and that just makes my skin crawl.
But it's hometown pride. It's no different.
I get
it,
but there's still a little bit of like, it's not just hometown pride, it's our way or the highway, or don't mess with Texas, or I will shoot you in the nuts. Those sort of philosophies that they have. But I've been to Texas.
My entire family migrated from Texas to California.
That makes so much sense now.
And I've never seen or heard anyone say, don't mess with me or I'll shoot you in the balls.
No, I didn't
here's
say that.
Here's what you can say. You can say that they are the state that, from what I understand, the easiest to get a concealed weapons permit. More people have guns there than ever before. And they have drive-through liquor stores.
That's
Are. Here's what I think about Texas. I think about Texas as being kind of the last... almost the Alamo, for lack of a better term, of quote-unquote freedom in our fair country here, in that they do what they want to do, how they want to do, and it makes sense. There's not a lot of government getting in the way there.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be, in my opinion.
All right, good for them. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate them. I found to learn to love them for all their craziness. They invented Six Flags, so that's pretty good. Penicillin was invented in 1928.
Boom.
And, you know, who's the dude at the Alamo?
Davy Crockett.
No, that's not right.
Daniel Boone.
No, also wrong.
Jim Bowie.
Wait, hold on. Who was the guy at the Alamo?
David Crockett was.
Really? The guy who was like, we can win at the Alamo, last stand at the Alamo. Anyway.
I think it was Davy Crockett. Because it's either that, because one of those guys, there's a TV show based on a not real person, maybe. I always love doing this stuff on the show because I know that there's somebody listening going, oh, my gosh.
Oh, why are you guys so dumb? James Bowie.
James Bowie.
And
Bowie
William
knife.
B. Travis. So the last, his last.
You mean to tell me Davy Crockett was not associated with the Alamo in any way?
I don't think that's a real person. It's part of your problem.
No, because I think it was Daniel Boone had the show because it was Daniel Boone was a man, a very big Crockman.
Davy Crockett, I think, is fictional.
Did we just hear your computer going, no,
does not exist.
Davy Crockett is not real.
A real person. His last recorded words in history are, "We'll have the Indians in an hour."
Those were Davy Crockett's last words?
Yep. No, Davy Crockett's not real. Oh. Davy Crockett. He's a fictional character, isn't he? Here's it. There's no, here it is. Davy Crockett. August. Nope, he's real. He was a celebrated American folk hero for frontierism, soldier, and politician. Member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Tennessee 12th District. So he was real.
Yeah. Check out Daniel Boone. I think one of those guys was...
Well, Daniel Boone was real.
I think one of those guys, though, was with Jim Bowie at the Alamo. Here's what I know about the Alamo. William P. Huff was the mayor of a neighboring city at the Alamo, and he fought as long as he could.
Daniel Boone was not at the Alamo.
Is that what that computer meant? So he left, and because we did that, when I did that Southern or the Oregon Trail during the California Gold Rush, is that game that everybody played in school. I don't think kids are playing it now.
No, they do. They've way up, it's an iPhone app.
Oh, that's right.
They've way upgraded. That's one of those things that will never die, because the learning company, it's the only thing that they make money on. Just be like, another Oregon Trail.
No, which actually brings me. Brings a thought to mind, is that we were just talking about, didn't that game, like, you would catch syphilis or gonorrhea or something? Mm-hmm. Like, somebody came down with syphilis.
What was so great about it is that it
but no third grader knew it was an STD.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, oh, I got the syphilis.
Mom, Paul were humping aliens along the trail, and Mom picked up a case of syphilis that she got from Paul because he couldn't keep it in his pants because he had to have a polka in her hauntus.
Nice. What was so great about the version we played in 1980-something was that, you know, you log in and you create your character, and then it says, you know, you're Kevin, you're going to travel across the Oregon Trail, and you can choose your caravan, and you need to choose all your friends in school or whatever. So you would go along the trail and play this game, and when you died, if you didn't make it on the trail, they'd put a little headstone somewhere on the trail, and then as your friends played it, they could pass. beat you, Kevin.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's great.
But anyway, there was a southern route that wasn't as known because there wasn't a video game made of it, and my 7th grade history teacher used to do this thing where we would write a book. The first book that, or each class that he had, all of his classes in 7th grade would work together, and we would each be assigned a person or a chapter or something like that, and he would have this book, and then it would actually get published. So the first...
When you say published, you mean mimeographed for everybody to take home a copy?
No, published. Hardbound.
Lies.
No, I'm serious.
Where would you buy it?
I don't know that it would be distributed, but he would have it. It would be published and given to the schools, and it would be in our library at our school and the public library in Modesto.
Man, I would have loved that.
Yeah, it was a cool thing. Mr. Schmidt, Ken Schmidt, now I think he's a counselor at USTAC Middle School. One of my favorite teachers, like of the teachers that I actually had, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
I have
right.
other, well, my drama teacher obviously is responsible, but well, I don't know. Now I'm turning this into an Oscar speech.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't need to recognize all the people that influenced
you. Well, no, he was great. And
I should be on that list. What have I taught you?
You're here, you're implied. Mr. Schmidt isn't doing a podcast with me, so therefore, he's kind of, you know, he's...
You
he's,
sure?
He's third level.
Because every time Bill and I turn around, you brought somebody else onto your podcast. Every time I turn around, you bring Bill on.
Wow. See, I'm going to get my wife on it and then see what she does.
You guys were going to do a podcast, weren't
you? We were, but it's just hard with scheduling. Yeah. Now we're going to have two kids. I don't know. Maybe... I don't know. Anyway.
You were saying?
We did this book, and... We met up with him in Yuma, California, but he had wagons actually built. The wheels of the wagon were built by actual Amish tradespeople.
Yeah.
So they were authentic wagon wheels that would have been back in the day.
That's pretty cool.
And a relative of William P. Huff, it was like his great-great-great-grandson or whatever, was the wagon, the team leader, whatever they call it, a team boss or something like that. Yeah. The guy in charge of the wagon train.
Yeah.
And he had this little, I'll never forget this, he's this 5-year-old kid talking about Texas, and this kid... he was 10, but this kid at 5 had started chewing tobacco. Oh, and they grew up on a farm, and I think they raised horses and cattle in Texas. No, he was fine, but he was constantly spitting chaw and wanting to challenge us to a fight and everything, but we're all junior high kids and already hit our pubescent growth spurt,
right?
If you would.
So he's like 100 feet tall.
And I remember I got this crush on this girl that was there from another school. Boy, was she pretty. I think her name was Martha. I remember that. And Martha. I was dating a girl already named Tether. And that was... But anyway, now I'm getting off track. So, so I know that that guy was involved in the actual Alamo fight, but I don't know. I want to say that Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone was too. Did you ever find anything out about Daniel Boone?
He's not real.
Oh. Are you doing that like you said Davy Crockett is? Did you actually look?
No, we read him. No, Daniel Boone's real. American pioneer explorer frontierism, whose frontier exploits made him one of the first folk heroes of the United States.
Boom.
Boone was most famous for his exploration of the settlement, what is now known as the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Man, really? These guys are all too far east for what I'm...
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like, maybe it's just, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I look at him like, Kentucky, it's not a lot going on. It's just sort of flat. I feel like I could have discovered Kentucky.
You do realize that you jump heavily on the southern states, right?
No. Yeah. I have a big love for the southern states.
Except for Texas, Oklahoma, and Kentucky?
I'm just saying there's not a lot.
You know, Florida doesn't count, right?
There's not a lot.
Nor does Arizona or New Mexico.
Oh, well. There's not a lot to discover to Kentucky is all I'm saying. I feel like if you just stood anywhere in Kentucky before there were buildings, you'd be like, Kentucky.
It's not flat. That's the Appalachian Mountains.
I see it. Oh.
You could do that in like Nebraska or Kansas.
Yeah,
I've been across those. Iowa a little bit, but in Kentucky, it's the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee and Kentucky, Appalachian. That's where original hillbillies were created. The ding a ding 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 deliverance. All that is all from Appalachia.
So climb to the top of the Appalachian Mountains and say Kentucky.
You can't because it gets you. That's the Smoky Mountains. The clouds sit there. You can't see. That's why he was a frontiersman. Had to go out there and do it.
This is fascinating.
Kentucky, where they made whiskey.
This makes me want to play
American
Red Dead
alcohol.
Redemption.
You would think that you should play it, but there's not a lot of. It's all desert. It's all like Utah,
it's all south. Yeah,
yeah. It's built around like Texas and the Southwest and stuff like
that's
that.
That's where the real West was. Still is, though. To be fair,
yeah. Unless you start walking out of the ocean, we find China again.
Sweet,
that'd be awesome. Maybe, or the unknown U.S. Why don't we have one of these people listening in the unknown U.S. send us an email and tell us where you are. How did I not think of that when we first started?
It hurts my head so much. Because I don't think if I were in the unknown U.S., I'd know it. How would I?
They got to know. Or what if it's just a city called unknown U.S.?
You're looking that up.
If I was a mayor, that would be pretty cool. We have 400 people listening to us in Ontario, California. A bunch.
400? 400 downloads.
Downloads, I'm sorry. What else?
There is a website called theunknown.us.
theunknown.us? Maybe that's where these people are.
Director,
what if it's Area 51 that's listening
to this
show?
That's what I said about 10 minutes ago.
You did?
Yep.
Oh.
Go back and listen.
I'm sorry.
The director of Captain America will be an unknown U.S. actor. That's what IMDb has to say about it. Holidays 2011, official daily, monthly, weekly, bizarre, crazy, unknown U.S.
You've seen did we see it at Tron for your birthday, the trailer for Thor? I'm very excited about that movie.
That'll be great.
I'm very, very excited about that movie. This Avengers show that's on the Disney XD that I watch with my son. I'm like, let's get this going.
You know, we were talking about it earlier today, last night, watching Tron. The worst part of it was all the Disney trailers that happened before it. Like, I am not going to see Mars Wants Mommies or what.
Oh, yeah.
Why push that into my face?
Yeah, there was some kind of weird live act. Or no, it was like the motion capture animation, wasn't it? Was that one?
But we saw, you were with us, so you saw the trailers in IMAX 3D for the next Disney's Earth or Oceans or Gorillas in the Mist or whatever it is. And that was some of the most ridiculous 3D I'd ever seen. I thought those gorillas were really sitting in the room with us. I cannot wait to see them gorillas in IMAX 3D. I could not believe that 3D.
I don't like watching those nature things.
But that 3D looked freaking real.
Oh, that reminds me of something.
Okay.
The... you want to see some real 3D animals, you go to the Los Angeles Zoo.
Those are real 3D animals.
Yeah, because, you have to tell me, because I do know that we talked about this, that we wanted to clean it up because we have some people that may be finding this that are interested in Sly 4.
You know, and they've probably been waiting this entire time. They may have already skipped this part, and they're scrubbing past this to hear when we finally start talking about Sly Cooper. And they're like, why? Can we get to
this? Is what you said. It's the title of the episode. This is some bull.
I'm going to kill myself.
One of the people said that. But anyway, so I went to the zoo with my son, and it was pretty awesome because they have the new elephant exhibit. So now that the elephant exhibit is done, you can walk. It used to be that there was only like a circle you could do around the zoo. Now you could kind of walk through the middle and bypass stuff because the elephant exhibit is done. And all of a sudden I realized that where the orangutans were, like, and so we walked up on them. And Jacob saw
they discovered unknown orangutans.
Exactly. they have this humongous male there. Like, he's just like whatever you think orangutan, you think of Any Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood. And
I think of nice reference. I think that was a gorilla, wasn't it?
No, it was an orangutan.
Oh, I think of Jungle Book.
Okay.
Yeah, he's more orangutan-y.
Well, but this one was real. Like, so it was. It's a female, and I think it's like mid-size or something like that. But when you get into like, and I've learned a lot from going to the zoo, is that like it's silverback gorillas in the packs are actually born to be the silverback. That what dictates, it's not like a challenge or anything like that. What dictates is the amount of testosterone your body, the gorilla body creates.
Really?
Which makes them husky, gives them like a pot belly, and just makes them more massive. And one of the ladies was pointing out, like, see this male over here, he's the same age as the silverback, but he looks like a little boy compared to because he doesn't create that much testosterone. And then I thought it was interesting because she told a bunch of she was taking families around, and I just jumped on her bandwagon and followed. And she said that he'll never mate for his entire life.
Really?
He won't. He's not allowed to because he said he'll.
The silverback stops him.
Yeah. It's just not. It's not even that it really has to try to stop him. I mean, I'm sure in real circles of the Congo, you know what I mean? It's not like that. You know what I mean? I'm sure that the silverback has to fight off, or maybe a guy sneaks one in, you know, on the side or something. But I'm saying.
I think I've seen that show.
But as it's a part of like almost what for. Is that Patton Oswalt? Who was that? Oh my gosh.
So you're the man cub. Crazy.
Is that an orangutan?
Yeah, that's the orangutan.
Put me down. You cut that out.
Cool it, boy. Unwind yourself.
Is Ben Vereen is the orangutan?
He's sitting in a large Cambodian throne, by the way.
Wow. Well, the classics, boy.
I know, right?
This I wonder why that's
don't
not...
want to cheat our children of this.
No wonder that doesn't come out of the vault but every 12 years. Holy crap. It's within their own little, like, their group that they just kind of know they're not supposed to mate with the females. Wow. And all that kept making me think is, like, how do they have, like, genetic diversity and stuff? I wonder if that's an issue. Because the other thing was that made me think of that is that one of the other orangutans that's pretty big, but I think it's just because it's old, looks a little cross-eyed, like, he looks a little inbred.
he's like, that guy's not going to be it. So if the silverback gorilla in defense of the den is killed in the line of duty, will one of the other gorillas begin to produce the testosterone to take his place?
No. There's always, because there's another, like in the pack that they have at the Los Angeles Zoo, there's another gorilla that's younger that emits as much testosterone, and that's the one that comes up and challenges the other one. Now, in the event that... from what I understand from what she was saying, in the event that, say, like the silverback dies and it's just a family there without, I'm imagining there would be the same as if, you know, a world leader is killed or something like that. There's chaos in the streets kind of thing where everybody's doing whatever they want until another silverback goes or the females go and find another guy.
Or a silverback.
But the females aren't interested in the skinny dudes.
Huh.
It's, you know, that's a guy with no teeth and no job and
it's
all
a sailor
that
on
because
a
he's just skinny.
In Hawaii,
exactly. Yeah. No, not if they're Hawaiian gorillas. Then they're like, I want a slice of some of that yellow teeth, smelly, scurvy ridden, syphilis smelling guy. That's what I want.
I wish I wasn't singing over that because that definitely would have been a drop.
But anyway, so we go to the orangutan thing, and like I see two orangutans that were kind of wrestling.
Uh-oh.
Yep. And
this is going to be great.
And it was, and so they're kind of wrestling around, and one of them was big, one of them was little, looked a little young. And then all of a sudden, when you start seeing from behind the butt thrusting, you realize what's really going on here. And it was incredible because there was a baby one that was swinging all over. But the littlest kids there, all they wanted to see was the big, and he had this little girl, like...
Oh, no.
That sounds wrong. Not a little girl, like a human girl.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
It looked like, compared to him, his massiveness, it looked like a little girl orangutan or whatever, but it was just a smaller female. He had her pinned up the netting that line, like, and she didn't seem angry about it. Like, this was so weird. Is
that comfortable?
Yeah, like he just had her pinned up, and like she's like trying to roll around. He's like, no, like you stay right here. Like there wasn't fighting or what, you know, no resistance. And then they just sat there for, I would guess, because we went and saw the elephants, we went and saw the tigers, and on the way back they were still going strong. Nice. This is about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And just the same position, just constant, just go, here
man,
we go.
They must be newlyweds.
And it wasn't aggressive. It wasn't like, it wasn't what you would imagine, you know.
Well, they have
wild
nothing better
animal.
To do. They're
exactly.
In a zoo. They don't have to defend themselves.
Yes,
nobody's
it wasn't,
coming.
It wasn't wild, passionate, you know. And when I mean wild, I mean like wild kingdom. Like we have to fight every day to survive, yeah. Love. It was just like, it was killing time, lovemaking. It was literally just
dinner's
like,
in an hour.
You know, I got nothing to do in between now and dinner. Well, for them, dinner was probably 6 hours away. Yeah, so just imagine the chafing that could be involved from 6 hours.
They're animals.
Yeah, they probably bounce right back. But I just thought it was great because my son, when he had seen the big male before, I had called him a big one or huge or something like that. And so these people are walking by and he's like, whoa, look at that big one. Look at him. And so it just looks like my son is saying, hey, look at the big orangutan banging the other one. Look at it right there. He's huge. Oh, my gosh. Look at that guy. And then this other little kid came running up and goes, I want to see it through the binoculars. And again, the kids have no idea what's really going on, but it's all the adults hearing these out of context phrases like, no, the mom says that's fine. And then there was this one younger, like you could tell they were younger parents. Cause I don't know, maybe it's because I have that redneck thing in me, but when I'm like, my son doesn't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So maybe it hits him on some part of his animal brain that he realizes like,
probably not.
I don't think so. You know what I mean?
I had no clue.
So anyway, but there was this other little girl that was just watching it. And the mom was like, I don't think we should let her see this. I was like, really? Nobody knows until some stupid mom comes up and says, hey,
this is inappropriate.
Can somebody hose them off? Jiminy Crickets. What's going on over there? Some kind of orangutan porno. But it was pretty awesome that my favorite part was like the chick also seemed kind of bored. Like she's like, right. She's twiddling some rope or whatever. But I don't know how we got onto that, but let's go back to Sly Cooper.
Hey, yeah. Actually, porn to Sly give Cooper. Us 2 seconds. Pardon us.
Oh.
She probably knows nothing about what she's talking about. Oh, hi.
Welcome back.
Sorry, I didn't think. It's funny because I've listened to other podcasts when they hit that record pause thing.
Right.
And for us, time has passed, but the listener just is like,
all...
give us a second.
Yeah.
And it's not even a second.
I love it. It's like magic.
There isn't even a breath in there. But yeah, so we had some people who found... What are you?
Just a little background music.
Boy.
This game?
No. We had some people who found our second funniest podcast Facebook page through Sly Cooper. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Not Sly Cooper, but I wanted to remind them.
I could see that your brain was working on something else that your mouth was not connected to. So that's why I laughed pretty loud.
Excuse me. I wanted to tell the people that are listening because they're fans of Sly 4 that a while ago, one of our listeners, Josh, sent in a Yahoo answer that was about 2 years old or whatever.
Oh, yeah. We
said,
talked about this.
Yeah, but I wanted, because these people might be just picking up the show this year. And so anyway, these girls from a while ago posted a thing saying something to the, I wonder if I still have it, where they said that, does anybody know what Kevin Miller, the voice of Sly Cooper, looks like?
Right.
Because he sounds super, oh, I do have it here. Yeah, it says, why? What does the guy who voices Sly Cooper look like? 10 points up for grabs. Okay, for all you Sly Cooper fans, has anyone ever noticed that Kevin Miller, the voice of Sly, has a really sexy voice?
Yow.
I sure have, and I've been trying to find his picture because I want to know if he looks as sexy as he sounds. So someone, I don't know why I'm turning this into like a radio advertisement. So someone, please help me and send me a link, a video or something, and it has to be him. 10 points easily. Thanks. And for those of you who listen to the show regularly already know, but then somebody put the website KevinMillerCreates.com, which is not you. It's another radio host and voiceover actor.
Thanks
that
for saying
lives
another.
In the Washington, D.C.
Like I'm a radio host. That's very nice of you.
What do you think we're doing here?
I know. I appreciate it.
Listen, podcasting is the future of radio.
That's
if you like
talk
radio, this is where it's going to end
up. Yeah, and I do. You're right.
So to bring everybody up, now the people who may not know about the Sly Cooper thing. Is this music from Sly Cooper?
Oh, just... yes.
Okay, good. Because that's what I was going to try and find. I want to try and find, like, the theme.
Yeah.
So anyway, when I went to check the fan page on Facebook, we had people who had found out, I guess, because they beat the Sly Cooper Collector's Edition.
Yep.
And at the end, it just has this thing where Sly Cooper's in the bushes. We saw a little video about it. And he's looking through the bushes. Then all of a sudden, boom, Sly 4 shows up.
Sly 4, question mark.
Mark. Uh-oh.
Where the question mark is a cane.
I think that that seems like a marketing thing, that they would be like, hey, and then how much buzz happens
exactly,
on the internet. You know what I mean? So... anyway, so we had some people that were like, hey, it's a question for Kevin Miller. Have you been contacted about the Sly Cooper 4? And then another person wrote, Ryan wrote, hey, can you confirm if they're making a Sly 4? So we started getting all these questions. Our Facebook page started skyrocketing as far as visits. Nobody seems to like us, though.
They're just going to see if there's a visit. Well, then I'm really glad we didn't answer the questions on the Facebook page. If you want to find out, you got to listen to the show.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, we should probably say that on the Facebook page.
We did.
Because if you're listening to it now, you already know that.
What?
Well,
now
I'm
you're
like,
hurting my brain.
I'm telling them, you want to find out, listen to this show.
Oh, yeah.
But they're listening to the show.
I posted it on the comments. I said that, hey, we're going to talk about it in episode 302. We'll answer any questions that we can and all of that stuff. So we have Ryan that found us. Who else? Max found us. And then Michael Bainton also found us. And then Alperin. I'm probably butchering your name. I'm sorry. Orm. All these people started using essentially our Facebook page as a IGN message board. I'm like, what's going on with Sly 4? And so I told them that we'd be talking about it. So here's what that brings everybody up to date. We know that you can't talk about the storyline.
Yes, that
because
is correct.
That's you have, what did you call it?
What's it's an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, which means that I've signed a piece of paper that says I will not release information prior to the time, otherwise they will sue me, or worse, not let me be a part of the projects anymore.
So what if you tell me the information and then I release it?
No, but see, by telling you, I'm releasing the information.
It seems different. You're just telling me. Telling one person is just telling. Releasing it isn't putting it into a format of podcast that predominantly is heard in Texas. I mean, how many people in Texas care about Sly 4? More than Oklahoma, I would imagine. Uh-oh. Is this Sly's anger rising?
This is getting scary. This is the airship level from Sly Cooper 2.
So we told everybody to send us their questions. Here we had a couple comments after my comment. Let's go through what people said.
Sure, yeah.
Ryan said, hey, can you confirm if they're making a Sly 4? And what is the storyline? This is for Kevin Miller. And then some other person put, quit asking, Ryan.
Yeah. Did they also call him out from Sucker Punch's website, too? I know it's you.
I know you on Sucker Punch. Yeah, like from
their forums. Stop asking.
I just love that they have like this little brother, big brother relationship
right.
on the internet.
They don't even know each other.
Ryan, stop, man.
Shut up. Your phone's ringing.
My phone is ringing. Hold on. Let's see what it says. It's not important. So then the other one says, then somebody else chimes in, you better watch out, Mikey. This kid knows you. And then he does the 0.0. What emoticon is that?
0.LOL. Wait, 0.0?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it like a face?
Oh, it's like two eyes with a nose.
Yeah.
Like scared face, maybe. and then somebody else named Michael said, honestly, thank you for just a post like this because Sucker Pinch has been very quiet.
Hmm.
I also apologize for coming here only because I'm a huge Sly fan. Going through these podcasts, they're pretty long. it's in parentheticals. So it's supposed to be going through these podcasts. They're pretty long. Like not saying, hey, guys, maybe tighten it up a little.
No,
I think he's
like,
saying it's taking me a while.
Yeah, to listen to for a nugget.
Yeah. You guys are entertaining. I used to go to Fail Blog for entertainment. I could spend hours listening to these things, and I probably will. Then Max, the kid who I shouldn't say kid. I feel like we're all kids when we start playing or talking
Heck
about video
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I am.
But anyway,
I'll always be a part of the Kid Nation. That's what I thought Nickelodeon had done really well, is made it feel like we were
right?
a demographic.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So another then that Max who was pointing out that Mikey knows somebody. He said, have you been contacted about the Sly 4? Now, he asked this question first before on December 19th, and then you posted through our Facebook, I have. Will that encourage you to buy one or two copies of the game? And he says, definitely, LOL. Has it begun production? Think you could drop me a few hints about the plot? LOL. And then Michael comes back. He says, this is the Kevin Miller. I mean, the Kevin Miller, the voice of Sly Cooper. That's very interesting because I won't ask questions. If there's any information about Sly 4, I'm sure you're not at too much liberty to speak. So see
you.
sorry for the double post, but really, it's been almost 5 years since. So this is great because it's almost like he thought about it and he's like, wait, no, seriously. Because he came back 10 minutes
later.
Yeah,
he's like, wait a minute.
He goes, it's been almost 5 years since the last Sly game came out. In fact, Sly 4 teaser trailer has already been found in the Sly Cooper collection for the PS3 once you unlock all the platinum trophies. Oh, wait, we can see more what he says. And then he puts a YouTube video where you could see that. You could see the trailer.
Yeah, it's funny, to the first person's question about what does Kevin Miller look like. If you go to YouTube and look up, it's actually available in the Sly Cooper collection if you unlock in Sly 2. They did like a behind-the-scenes promo video. It's about 9 minutes long. And there's two or three shots of me. Of course, this was circa 2004 or 5. So it doesn't have my manly beard back
then. Why don't we just put a picture of you up on the Facebook page?
Well, that's probably easier. Well, there is one on the Facebook page.
Of you?
Yeah. It's both of us. Don't you remember? Don't you remember back then?
No, yep. I don't. Okay. I don't.
But the issue with it, though, the thing that I don't like about it is where I was rewatching it is that I'm wearing this. It was back in an era when I didn't know how to wear shirts that were my size. This is good, actually. So I was wearing this giant suede blue shirt, and I was a little nervous while I was talking, so I'm kind of rocking my foot back and forth, so it looks like I'm wiggling in this giant shirt. It's a little weird.
So the shirt is swinging like a bell, and your body is the clanger.
Exactly, but I'm like, and that's when I say, Sly Cooper's got a real sexy voice, just rawr. So I'm just trying to create content for these guys with their cameras in my face.
That's awesome. Let's see what else somebody says. Again, I don't mean to be annoying, but I've been a fan of Sly Cooper since 2003.
A little late in the game, don't you think?
Wow.
2002 is when the first game came out.
He was born. I've just walked on your bit. And to know you're the voice of Sly is pretty exciting for a really huge fanboy. Yeah, Kevin, can you give us a couple of hints because you're so awesome? Put that in the form of a question. Can you give us a couple of hints because you're so awesome?
Are you awesome?
Are you awesome? You are if you give us hints.
Or another reason?
Everyone from the Sucker Punch site knows about this now. I'm just glad you're doing the voice of Sly. I think that's what I was worried about the most. The Sly voice can't change. It'd just be too weird, man. He didn't say, man, I did. 5 years, Sly 4. I hope it will be on PS2 or I will die. And then somebody said, sorry, it won't be on PS2. It'll be PS3 only. Yes, finally a Sly 4. And then later on he says, oh, so I will die.
And that's the thing that I wanted to address is like, we're all fanboys, especially in this culture, and it's cool to want something, but you know, I discourage anybody from giving a company they have no relationship with the authority for them to live or die. Like, whether or not Sly Cooper is going to be on the PS2, PS3, or exist at all should not determine whether or not you take your next breath.
I disagree entirely.
What?
I think that maybe in the case of Sucker Punch, it's not influential, but in like as far as giving your life to the Coke versus Pepsi battle, definitely worth it.
God in
heaven. As far as maybe what we say on this show.
Because you're drinking a Pepsi, I'm wearing a Coke shirt right now.
We're about to throw down.
That's on you, man.
No, I think, well, I guess you're right. We don't know this person, but because I'm sure there are people.
I'm sure. But see, it also, it's just spinning a lot of wheels. Even if you're saying it in jest or like more out of frustration, which I think is probably more accurate. We're just saying, why can't it be on the PS2? Brother, you probably knew it wasn't going to be on the PS2 to begin with, because why would anybody make a game for technology that's
They still do, like the wrestling games and stuff.
Yeah, but that's,
Hey, bite that tongue.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I love that one too. I did. That was a grenade.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that was a grenade you threw yourself on. That was pretty impressive.
That was good.
I thought you were going to throw it back.
Who plays those games? Okay, moving on.
I do.
It's got awkward. Another Sly sound.
So anyway, so let's go into it. I think everybody.
Well, I feel like we should maybe we play one scene from Sly to give people who are not, because we'll have fans that don't know a thing about Sly Cooper.
Okay. Tell the people that are regular listeners to this podcast who the character is, what the storyline that we know so far is, and all that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Why should I do it when YouTube can do it for me? Hit pause.
We'll be right back after these loading bards load.
And we're back. So much. That was actually 6 days in between when we just paused it and announced.
Took them that long to figure out that there are no YouTube videos just explaining the story of Sly Cooper 1, 2, and 3.
So, yeah, for those of you that are unfamiliar, or maybe we've mentioned it before, I supplied the voice for a character on the Sony platform called Sly Cooper. And we did 3 games back in the last decade, and we have a game or two, question mark, coming out later this year. So here is a cut from Sly, the very first Sly game we did way back in 2002. Listen to my young, dulcet tones.
Once again, my gang and I had given Inspector Carmelita Fox the slip. I was surprised to see how well she took it. Finally, the secret police file I'd been searching for all these years. With this, I could avenge my family and regain possession of our most valued treasure. It all began when I was just a kid, bouncing on my father's knee. You see, I'd come from a long line of master thieves who kept all their secrets of sneaking and stealing in an ancient book. The Thievius Raccoonus. Anyone who read it learned to be especially sneaky, which is why we specialize in stealing from criminals. After all, there's no honor, no challenge, no fun stealing from ordinary people. You rip off a master criminal, and you know you're a master thief. Well, on the night I was supposed to inherit the book, 5 visitors came unannounced to our door. My father fought to protect us, but the gang of villains known as the Fiendish 5 overpowered him and ransacked our house until they found the Thievius Raccoonus. Our family's manual of thieving greatness fell into their filthy hands. They tore the book into 5 pieces and split it up, each villain disappearing to the farthest corners of the world to commit dastardly crimes.
Pac-Man was there.
Broken alone, I was dumped at the town orphanage. There I met 2 guys who became my lifelong buddies and trusted crew. Bentley, techno genius and strategist supreme, and Murray, part-time driver and full-time burden. Together we pledged to track down the Fiendish 5, avenge my father, and steal back the Thievius Raccoonus. I knew I was about to face the toughest test of my life. On this mission, I would either become a master thief like my ancestors before me, or fail and allow my family name to bite the dust.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Oh, now we're in stereo. That feels so much better. Yeah, sorry about that. That's a terrible sample. It's the only thing I can find on YouTube.
That's all right.
There are more. So, yeah, that's the story of Sly Cooper in the first game. He lost his family when he was 10 and lost all of his book on how to steal stuff. And then you go through the game and you steal stuff to get it back. And then, so it was kind of an obstacle course-based game, if you remember from way back in the day. Very original Mario Brothers. And then a little game called Grand Theft Auto came out and changed gaming dynamically. And the
Never
folks,
heard of it.
Well, the folks at Sucker Punch admitted that it changed the way they develop games. So they were then forced to, not forced, but encouraged to do an open world. I guess force is the wrong word.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Rockstar guys came in, just stormed into their building, was like, "You're going to use our engine! Use our engine,
I'm
you
sorry.
Bitch! We're going to sleep with your secretary and then kill her and get our money back."
You guys are way too into this. They do Red Dead Redemption too.
Yeah.
So
and Bully. Anything that is bad about video games, that anything that the United States
community.
Congress and House of Representatives would like to shut down about video games is Rockstar
or
America
Blizzard.
Or Australia.
Yeah,
either one.
Yeah. That's true. Well, Blizzard, I'm sure they know. Well, I don't know. People just submit their lives to World of Warcraft. I'm sure somebody's trying to write legislation against that.
No, it's always because it's the game Bully, where your
that's
job
true,
is to be
yeah.
a bully.
Yeah.
And I think they also made the sleeper hit that I don't know any of the younger people, but there was somebody who was talking about the PS2. I think you could still get this game. I think it's called Manhunt. The most violent and just unbelievably graphic games I've ever played in my entire life. A really cool idea, in my opinion. It was a lot of fun to play. I don't think I finished it. I can't remember if I did, but it was the premise of the game. Sorry to get away from Sly Cooper. We might end up going long on this episode, but anyway, the premise of the game, real quick, is that there was a guy who was on death row. Some guy throws out a lot of money to televise him fighting through other convicts in like these gang areas for his own life.
Right,
and you
right,
pick
right.
up like bats with nails in them. And there's just these horrible, like,
it's all PS2 though.
Yeah. That's horrible executions that you would do. And you were sneaking around like in the shadows and in the dark. While
just
they
like
hunt.
Sly.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Sounds terrible. Lee. Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we did that game, and then we did, and then when they made the second game, they made it more open world like that. So you go around, you still had a general storyline, but you'd meet other characters, you'd use different skills, you'd do missions in the order that you wanted, and they were more story based. By the time the third game came around, they were, the guys at Sucker Punch were just pretty much having a good time. They wrote kind of a fun story, and then came up with the most randomest mini games within it. Sometimes you'd go whole missions, several missions, without actually moving a character around. You'd sneak into a room and operate two cameras at the same time and launch rockets to defend yourself, or you'd be you'd trying to turn blades on and off to do all these different things. It was a very clever, clever series of games.
So like almost like a whole level would be technically what you would define as a mini game is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And that's what a lot of the game was. Like the very few of the, you know, in a lot of those kind of games, they'll then revisit the same mini game later. This never did that. You just do, there's this one mission where you're operating two security cameras and launching rockets to defend. And you could choose which security camera to look at and then control the defenses on that screen. And that was the only time you did it in the whole game.
That's cool.
It was pretty great.
I
pretty
like
ballsy.
It when stuff isn't repetitious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's like, hey, thanks for not being lazy, guys.
And that's what the Toy Story 3 was such a great game, except for the part where they parodied the film, where they tried to do the storyline to the film. There's only like one mission that was worth your time. The rest of them were pretty... pretty bad, real bad coding. It seemed like they forgot that they were supposed to also do that at the same time. But they built this whole like open world RPG Toy Story universe game called the Toy Box, and that is a phenomenal thing. And then the other stuff, it's like, really, do I still have to do this?
So how does Sly Cooper, again, for the people who haven't played the game, yeah, does Sly Cooper adopt what Grand Theft Auto created, what they now call the sandbox,
yeah,
you know, type engine?
Well,
how does that work exactly? You just pick missions and they show up,
yeah,
in
what
area?
Happens is they have an open world, like in Sly 2, you're in Paris at night, and so you crawl around rooftops or whatever, and the very first thing you need to do is case a joint. So you go in, you sneak in, and you take pictures of stuff. And you go back, and then the Bentley the Turtle, who we'll have on next week, will do like a mock-up of a plan. He'll say, okay, to do this, we got to do three things first. We got to go steal this generator, we got to go infiltrate the club, and we got to go, you know, buy a bunch of mops. I don't know, whatever the mission's going to be. And he's like, once we do that, then I can tell you what the big plan is. So you go off, and then you're just in Paris, and little waypoints show up on the map, and you can choose, oh, I'll go do this mission now, and you walk over there, and then you infiltrate the club and try to sneak through and or do a different thing. And then once that's unleashed, then you're eventually doing this grand heist to steal the thing from inside the club, and then once you have it, you go on to the next world, India or... yeah, Prague was one of the levels. In that
so
game.
Within the individual worlds, those are open, but uh-huh, and then you progress from one world to the next.
And then there are little bonus things you can do, collect items within the world and that sort of thing. So, but the thing that we know is happening later this year, which is funny, nobody mentioned it, is we have Heroes on the Move coming out in April, which stars Sly Cooper and Bentley against the folks Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Daxter. And they'll all be
so
in the
all
same,
of the Sony platform
yeah,
characters
will be in the
a
same
fighting
world.
Game or what?
It's an open world, free-forming, yeah, kind of fighting game, more like arena-based. So you'll run around and you can pick up an axe, or you can pick up a gun and shoot each other, and you play Capture the Flag.
Is it only multiplayer? Or?
No, I think you can play against the computer, but I think it's intended for party games. And then it's also compatible. I think it's solely compatible with
oh,
the
so,
Move.
Not to say the naughty word while we're talking about Sony here, but like, it's almost like a Mario Party,
yeah,
but made of Sony characters.
Yeah, exactly. Sony did an earlier version just called Heroes. And that was like Cole from Infamous is Good and Evil and a couple of their other Sony-based hero games all doing a shooter, like a multiplayer shooter together. And this is the platformer version of that.
And is that's going to be available on the PlayStation?
Yeah, PlayStation.
As an
3.
Arcade game? Or
as a Move. You'll buy it as a game, and it's compatible with the Move. So when you pick up the disc or the gun or the axe, you'll actually use the PS Move to swing it around the room.
Awesome.
So it'll be pretty great.
Sweet.
Pick that up. And both Matt, myself, and Chris Murray, who is the Murphy. No, Chris Murphy, who is the Murray, are all in that game as well. So.
Okay. That's Murray is the like
the big pink hippo.
Yeah, hippo. I was trying to think
we'll try
of
to have him on
rhino.
Too next week, but we know Matt will be with us next week.
Nice. I'm excited. I feel like we should have people write in with their relationship issues and let Sly and Bentley answer their.
It'd be great. Matt, well, you'll meet him next week. He's a very talented guy. He's got a million voices inside him, so it'll be cool to see him be cut loose and let
fight with himself or what's going to happen.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be pretty cool. So I guess this is part one of a two-part Sly Cooper extravaganza.
Yeah. Or if we get the other guy the following week, maybe we go three.
Do a three-part series. So, questions.
Yes.
I'll do my best.
Here's what we told people. We said that since you can't really talk about the storyline, we can kind of open up the debate, or not debate, but open up for conversation, yeah, the idea of what do you guys think. So we had a fan named Tanya write in, and she said, Sly 4 would be awesome if the game is still open world. Can you answer that?
I don't know.
Oh.
That's a good question.
You don't know if you can, or you don't know?
No,
if
I don't know if it's open world.
Okay. If the entire...
I don't know if it exists.
Yeah.
I know it exists.
If the entire Cooper game from Sly... Cooper gang from Sly 3 came back.
And that would be... So the original core gang is Bentley, Murray, and Sly. And then in Sly 3, they needed to pull off the world's hugest heist, so they had to get other thieves from around the world.
What happened to the Fox that you were into in...
Carmelita Fox, yeah, works for the Interpol, works for the International Police Department.
So she's still around?
Hot on our tail.
Oh,
all the time.
Literally for you, because you have a tail.
So no, I don't think she joins she's never been a member of the gang, but it's the guru, Murray's guru, who's an Australian aboriginal koala who doesn't speak a word of English.
Yes, please.
And
is it all clicks? What is he talking?
He goes, but everybody understands him. Good point.
And does the guy who do Bentley do him too, or is that a separate guy?
Matt only does Bentley, because his voice is... He's pretty much the thrust of the game. Well, it's okay. Called Sly Cooper. Bentley is in every
inch. The one. Yeah, he moves the story along.
Always. Like, you can't.
He's
go
like, okay,
minute.
Sly, here's what we got to do, and this is what's going on with the story. And then you're like, I got it.
Pretty much.
Oh, I almost got hit by that tree limb.
Yeah, pretty much.
I better try pressing triangle in order to get that mask.
That's how most of the sessions go. Matt reads a page worth of dialogue flawlessly. Kevin reads two lines and stumbles for a half hour, and then Matt reads
a true story. Star.
Exactly. And then everybody wants my autograph.
I'll be in my trailer. Kevin, we don't have trailers. It's a voiceover. I'll be in the closet.
With a pina colada.
It's probably not going to be good. You're kind of stumbling on the consonants. You might want to lay off the booze.
Yeah, I'm on a break. Talk to my agent. So then there's Penelope. She's an RCS specialist. And then they were ballsy. They took the character from Sly 1, who was partially responsible for the murder of Sly's own parents, and brought him on board.
One of the Fiendish Five?
One of the Fiendish Five. Panda King. Yeah, he is Flaming Fist of Fury.
That son of a bitch.
I know, right?
What if Panda King was the inspiration for Poe from Kung Fu Panda?
You know, I've often wondered that.
It blew our minds.
Because it predated Kung Fu Panda, yeah.
And it's still Sony. It's all DreamWorks.
Yeah.
If you're in the safe house, you can pick any character from the Cooper gang. And was that ever a thing that you could do?
Yeah, that was available in Sly 2 entry.
But isn't, like, Bentley, like, wheelchair bound or no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got hurt after the second Sly game. Yeah.
Oh, after this, so the first
in Sly 3, he's in a wheelchair the whole time. Mm-hmm.
And if you could skip some of the really hard missions.
I can relate. Here's what you do, and I did the same thing in Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, piece of crap game, is you just lower the difficulty for that mission and then bump it back up again.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you can do difficulty levels in Sly, but...
Having read that email to its completion, I now owe an apology and a retraction. That is not Tanya. That was from Michael, our good friend from the Facebook page, who posted about... I don't think he's the one who said he would die, though. He's the one who had all the questions, I think.
I'll convert it to a PS2 game just to save that guy's life.
Oh no, he's the one who told he's the older brother to Ryan. Not really, but in online, he's the one who's like, "Quit asking, Ryan. I know you from Sucker Punch, or I know you on Sucker Punch."
That's so funny.
Let's see what other. Then we had another one that I thought was interesting too. This comes from Riley. And she says, "Hey, guys, first off, I love the show. I just started listening about a week ago, and I've really enjoyed it. Anyways, so I just finished listening to the episode with Kevin and Mick Wingert about how Mick got involved with voiceover acting. So I was wondering if Kevin wouldn't mind telling how he got involved with doing the voice of Sly Cooper. I grew up playing Sly, so I think it would be interesting to know more about it. Keep up the good work, guys."
Yeah, that's a great question. I was going to save it for next week, but I'll answer your question this week.
What?
And I would recommend anybody listen to the show, go back and listen to the episode with Mick Wingert, because he's the voice of Po from Kung Fu Panda for the video games and the TV show that will be coming out next fall. So definitely listen to that if you like video games and you like Kung Fu Pandas, because he'll give you some tips on VO work, too. He's a working pro. So Sly was the very first Sly game was introduced to the sound studio that I was working at up in Northern California called Webtone. You can check them out at webtone.com. And a lady by the name of Nancy Fitzgerald was the director for the project, and she was looking for sound studios and heard of us and brought the project through. But I was a producer there at the time, so I was handling doing auditions a lot of the times and then some of the pre-production work. So I was their engineer for all the auditions, and I sat and watched people read for Sly Cooper for 2 weeks. You read for it too, didn't you, Justin?
No.
You didn't read for any of the Sly stuff, Bentley or any of that? So I went and read.
Unless they had a big black dude, I didn't come
that's
in.
That's true, yeah, yeah. Or
I might have read for Murray.
I think you did.
I might have read for Murray.
I feel we would have had you read for that. So funny thing about Murray as well. So actually all three of the characters have funny backstories to them and how they got cast. So when I was cast, we ran the auditions, and you know, the director Nancy said, "You need to read for this." And I said, "I plan to." But in my mind, I was waiting until the end of the week so that I had rehearsed it all week by directing people through it. So I got in there and I laid it down. I also read for Bentley, and I was trying to remember what my Bentley was like, because Matt has such a distinct voice. But I think it was probably something like, "Fly, this is Bentley." I don't think that's accurate. It would have been something more nasally. Yeah. It's so hard because Matt's version's so distinct. So then they threw it up to the folks at Sucker Punch, and they throw down their choices. And I don't know how many people listened to the samples, but half the team, like some guy, I don't remember, we'll call him Ryan. And the other half the team...
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, exactly. the other half the team of people that had a vote in who was going to be Sly hated Ryan's audition, but loved some other guy named Jonathan. Again, I don't
Ray remember. Ray
Liotta. It's stiff competition. But the people who liked Ryan hated Jonathan's audition. So everybody's second pick, though, was Kevin Miller.
So you got the job due to a hung jury.
I was everybody's compromise. Like, yeah. They all had first and second choices, but almost unanimously, everybody's second choice was me. So I got the gig.
That's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah, and they actually, we read for
How did you find
E3.
Out that story?
I was working at the studio, so they told me.
Oh, okay.
At the time, because there was some debate of whether or not they would be able to persuade everybody to choose one of the first string choices. But they were so adamant that it seemed like better choice. And I worked there, so they got a better rate. It all just made sense across the board. And it helped them, because then when they went into development, there were months later we were done with recording, and they'd call and be like, "Please, can you walk into the booth 5 feet from you and lay down these four words for us?" If you remember...
We didn't get triangle, circle, square, and X.
You're joking, but that's exactly what it was.
Oh, really?
If you remember the first game, there's a dance battle with this alligator that plays like a musical Simon Says with you. So she shoots out words, and you have to do them. And they originally were up, down, left, right, and for some reason somebody decided that that wasn't good enough, so they had to change it to a zigzag voodoo. So like zig being left, zag being right, voo and do up and down. And so I literally walked into the booth and said zigzag voodoo, and in the game zigzag voodoo are triangle, square, circle, and X, and that's what
change
you're
doing. It all together.
That's it. Yeah,
that's funny.
It was pretty great.
Awesome. I think that's all of our questions.
Well, here's what Chris's story was. Chris originally, and I hope...
Wait, is he going to be here next week?
He might be. We'll let him tell his audition story. It's pretty good. Matt and him both have great "How did you get to be on Sly Cooper?" Story.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, we're full on our time for our show.
Right.
I don't know if there's any...
Well, I'd love to hear what people's ideas were for Sly 4, because I'm a huge fan of the property, and I've spent a lot of time in sort of the fanboy world of it. I've done my own things for people, and I think the story...
Can you talk about that? Like, what your idea was or anything, or not yet?
Sure. No. I mean, I think the Sly stories should continue on forever. I think there should be a film. I think there should be a TV show. So I've dabbled in creating...
And I'm going to say it as an outsider looking in. I don't think that you're saying this just because you're the voice from the standpoint of going, "Let's create some paychecks for Big Daddy."
That's definitely
the inspiration.
Of it. But yeah, I mean,
I don't think that's, you like the story and you think that it could withhold that and it would help, you know, obviously your pocketbook if that was.
But
unless
Sly
they got this Jonathan guy back in.
Yeah, that guy. If he takes my, him and Ryan got together and they read every other word, I'd be screwed. Don't think I haven't spent some sleepless nights on that idea, my friends.
I don't know. I think after three, you're pretty much.
You know what, though? Because I am such a nervous guy, even during the second game when they had spent thousands of dollars to fly me up and to live in Seattle for a week. And you know, they got me a hotel, airfare. I'm living there. And the first session, it was a little rough because I hadn't done the character in a little while. And I was maybe a little nervous. And I actually started to get in my own head and think, what if they recast me? What if they're thinking recast me? And, you know, you get dumb sometimes. Yep. Like, if I had just taken 2 seconds and thought, they are more willing to waste an entire hour with me going, my name is Fly Cooper. My name is Fly Cooper. Can I take it again? Than they are of,
can,
like,
somebody get him a pina colada?
Yeah, of going through the, like, sending me home, yeah, going through the audition process to find somebody that sounds like me. Like, eventually, I finally learned, and like,
that'd,
you know,
be pretty flattering though to have an audition sent out going, we need a Kevin Miller type.
It's not. I've had it. We actually have some friends that have both, like Karing Tabazian, who we tried to have on the show before, has read audition copy that says in the style of Karing Tabazian. read for it and not get the gig. So that'd be great.
This is a stupid, stupid industry.
Exactly. You want it in the style of my voice. Why don't you just hire me? Call me.
Well, I think that's good then. I think we did it. I think we nailed it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, tune in next week as long as we have Matt Olson on, and maybe Chris Murray and Murray. And they'll tell you more about the slide.
So those of you who, I'm going to put this out today, because then that'll give people more time to be able to react, because we're recording this on Saturday and missing playoff football. That's how much we love you guys.
Yeah, we need to get to the playoff football.
So anyway, send us any more questions that you have. If you want to have questions for Bentley, obviously we know he's going to tell his casting story. And anything else. I like this. This is fun. Talking about video games and things that we love. So if you have any questions about Slyke 4 or Bentley or anything about the show, you could send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, or you can give us a call if you want to talk and leave a voicemail. Or you want to scare the crap out of me. You can,
this is not the Sly Cooper theme song. Who just cited on YouTube, this is the Sly Cooper theme song?
Maybe this is for the film. Maybe that's another phone call you're going to get. But send us an email, show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 408-22. Oh, wait, hold on. I just realized that we may have people who actually called in, because there was one that I had in here. So give me one second.
Well, maybe we hit them next week.
You sure?
Yeah, let's find out from them next week.
Well, no, what if it's something that we
all
can...
All right, go ahead.
Because here's the
playoff
other thing.
Playoff football, I got
to
leave.
I know you got to leave. But it's funny to me because now people are trying to chat with us on Skype. Hold on, let's see what this is. That's somebody taking a breath.
It's awesome.
Let's see about this one. Somebody else that doesn't know how Skype works. So unknown number. Next time, talk into the phone when you call at 6 in the morning.
Unknown number?
Yep.
They're from unknown USA. Dun-da-ba-ba-da.
Maybe they're in trouble. But they can't talk. They're just, you know, you do that thing where you dial 911 and drop the phone underneath the couch.
I hope that
they're going to take you. But anyway, give us a call, 408-228-4911. We will make sure to double check that beforehand. On behalf of my good friend, Mr. Kevin Miller, also known as Sly Cooper Raccoonus Thievius, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah.
What is it supposed to be?
It's just Sly Cooper, and he has the Thievius Raccoonus.
Oh, the Thievius Raccoonus? Yeah. That sounds like an STD. It sounds like we gave it to a Native American. Or are you making that loud on purpose?
Yeah. We're just supposed to get quiet.
Oh.